Good evening, Razorback fans. Welcome to another episode of the Hog Talk Podcast, coming to you live from the Sterling Soap and Roastery Studios, part of the Believe in Buzz Radio Networks, where you can hear us on 106.7 in Central Arkansas. All live shows are presented to you by Arkansas Brewing Company in downtown Ozark. I'm Porter Hayes, and alongside me, as always, is Adam Hall, and we're also brought to you by Bet Online, which continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts. Before we get in today's show, we had some breaking news a while back, about an hour or two ago. Really want to pay our respects and our condolences to the family of Mort. I mean, mainstay on ESPN, one of the guys, nobody could say anything bad about him when it come to the way he was as a journalist and covered the NFL and covered quarterbacks. So really want to send our thoughts and our prayers to the family of Mort. And it was crazy because, not to bring my personal life into this, but like I've dealt with the loss today of a family member, and it's like you see the person on TV, you see them, and you're like, oh, you know what's going on, but they look okay, they look fine, and then all of a sudden you're like, damn, they're gone, and that's what happened. It's crazy, the news that you shared with me. I didn't even realize that it was that severe. So yeah, thoughts and prayers out to the family of Mort.
I know back in, I think it was around 2009, I actually got to meet Chris Mortensen. He came into the store that was the managing in Rogers, and I remember I was at the cash wrap and I was counting the register out for the morning, and we had opened, and first person that walked in, I heard it, and hey, how you doing? I'm like sitting there doing my thing, and then I hear him speak to me, and I instantly know who he was. I heard his voice, and I just looked, and I was like, and I knew Alex, was at Arkansas Fayetteville, so it was just kind of like, what are you doing here? And he was just like, oh, I've got a quarterback tutorial video that I'm shooting today, and he said I left all my stuff at home, and he had to come in and have everything Under Armour branded that he was wearing for this. And so we just sat there and talked for about 5-10 minutes. I mean, just as nice and as personable as he could be. I mean, it was pretty cool. At the same time, now is the time to kind of look back on it and just those little things.
Yeah, it's just, you look, and also it's times of me and you are our age. Like, I still feel sometimes or don't think that I am the age that I am, and you start losing the greats that are around you, Stuart Scott, and now Mort, and the ones you grew up watching on ESPN. And it's just the times of you getting old. This is what happens, the older you get, the more people that you grew up watching and idolizing, and I mean, players, coaches, anything, it's one of those situations that really make you think about life and really cherish things, because, again, with the personal side of it, it's you always have to cherish the things that are going around you, because you never know when it's the last time you get to talk to some of your loved ones. But we'll move right along. Arkansas baseball, I mean, look, how would you rank these pitchers? I mean, this staff that and the stat that Will Whitson put out about the strikeouts and the 163 through 10 games, you're averaging 16 strikeouts a game. That I don't care the competition. Look, this is one of those sports, and you can agree with me, softball, baseball, stuff, the competition level, you're expected to win every game, but the fact you're going out there and you're averaging 16 points or 16 strikeouts a game, that is nuts.
Yeah, it really is. You sit there and watch, and even if, like, you know, the pitcher comes in and he might struggle for, you know, an at bat or even, you know, the first inning, if you will. And then they've all just kind of found their groove at some point in their stretch. And I think what you said, they're at 16. So we know that's going to dwindle.
Yeah.
Once the play gets here, but it's one of those things that, you know, it's early on. We still got 45 games to go in the regular season, but it's unbelievable what they did or what they've done so far.
When you look at it, 9-2 on the season, 7-1 at home, 2-1 on neutral. But the fact that this is, I'm just going through the top, let's go 1-2. They're pitchers that have pitched significant innings. Colin Fisher, 11 strikeouts. Brady Tigert, 20 strikeouts. Mason Molina, 29 strikeouts. Will McIntyre, 18 strikeouts. Hagen Smith, 31 strikeouts. Cody Frank, 11. Gabe Gakel, 13. And even Gage Wood has 8. You've only got one guy, and this is Parker Coyle. He's had 2 appearances, 2.2 innings pitched, and he has 2 strikeouts. Like, there's nobody top to bottom that, when you look at their innings pitched, Tate McGuire, 1.2 innings, he has 4 strikeouts. Jake, and I'm going to butcher some of the names. Faherty?
Faherty,
yeah. I'm sorry about that. But, I mean, 2 innings pitched, 4 strikeouts. That is insane when you look at, and even Gabe, 6.1 innings pitched, 13 strikeouts. The strikeouts per 9 innings, I mean, is just insane when you look at this team. And then the ERA, teams are hitting 174 against you. I know a lot of that comes from the strikeouts, of course. And again, as I say, you know, the competition to me doesn't matter when you're playing your 10 or 11 games, I should say, 11 games in, and you're at 163 on the strikeouts, mm-hmm. and the fact that you're holding teams to 174 batting average. That is insane.
And it really makes you kind of glad, like, the depth that we have, just with the way that our pitching history has been when it comes to injuries and whatnot, so knock on wood there, but it makes you feel like a little bit better, more at ease, that if something were to happen, you know, I feel like that there's more arms to rely on to fill in for a short amount of time.
Yeah, and you look at Hagen Smith, he's appeared in he's had 3 starts. His opponents are batting 114 against him.
Yeah,
I mean, these are like softball numbers, pitching average. I mean, that's just what it's insane. And then you look at, like I said, the ERA, of course. I mean, it's 2.77 ERA, but Will McIntyre's 2.08, Mason Molina's 1.98, and Brady Tigert's 1.12. Again, we're early in the season, but, man, I'll tell you what, if this keeps holding up, I mean, and especially when you get into, you look at LSU, they have a similar pitching staff where they're mowing down batters left and right. That's going to be an absolute pleasure to watch. Watching Hagen Smith go up against that lineup.
Well, and for, you know, Hagen Smith, ever since which he was already on teams' radars for MLB, but after the Oregon State game, I mean, you had major league teams tweeting out about him, sharing the, you know, his 17 strikeouts. You know, that he's all but, in my opinion, and a lot of other people's opinions, guaranteed to go first round in the next MLB draft. So,
barring he stays healthy, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's just, but they finished it today. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say another stat that somebody had put out, and this is about history over the last 7-ish years, but it was about the Arkansas in the polls. In the last 95 polls that Arkansas has been ranked, so going back to March 27th of 2017, they've averaged at basically the 6th in the polls. since 2017. And you look at the list too, and it's just like the only thing, I mean, the national championship is what's missing from that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of correlation. You look at 64, 94, and then 24. You know, there's a lot of people, you know, the conspiracy theorists, you know, that are saying this is the baseball's year, you know, and we've said it. That man, Dave Van Horn, deserves a national championship. And the fact that, but, you know, your bats are going to have to be, you know, a lot more consistent when it comes to when you're playing, because you're playing in the SEC. And we've talked about this on numerous shows. No matter what sport we're talking about, the SEC is the king. I mean, if they're not the best, they're in the top two. I mean, I don't know of what major sport that the SEC is not the best, if not the second best in that sport. I mean, maybe women's college basketball, but I mean, you look at Ole Miss and South Carolina and LSU and Tennessee, and it's hard to say that they're not the top. Softball, you have OU, and that's about to come over to the SEC, but top to bottom, it's hard not to say that, you know, the SEC is not the king when it comes to softball. I mean, I know Alabama's on the decline, and OU's 71-game win streak finally got snapped, you know, today. So, I mean, another streak that you're talking about, a record that's going to be hard to be broken. Unless she goes on another 71-game win streak, I don't see that one getting broke anytime soon.
Yeah, I think that one's going to be the one that's going to hang around for a little while. And it's nothing on OU. It's just that was a very difficult thing to do, and your level of competition is about to up just a bit coming over. So
you look at the write-up from today's game, and it says, over the last 8 games, Arkansas starting pitchers have allowed just 3 runs on 15 hits, and all those runs come off 3 solo home runs, only 8 walks, and the ERA combined is a .69 ERA with 70 strikeouts and 39 innings of work. That is insane.
I think the walks, or the lack thereof, and then the pitch control that these guys have had has been amazing so far. Just because, I mean, there's just not nearly what we've seen in the past of the inerrant walks and balls getting away, this, that, and the other. I mean, they're on their game. So, you know, kudos to Matt Hobbs and DVH for, you know, this pitching staff that they've got.
You look at Hobbs and, you know, the amount of flack that he's caught, especially, you know, when everybody talks about the injuries and, you know, everything that he's kind of endured, not saying it was on an epic level, but, I mean, he's endured a lot. I mean, so is Nate Thompson. You know, you look at the assistants and what they've – and I think – more than any other sport, when it comes to the assistant coaches, well, no, I'd put football up there because Enos and Odom, but, you know, that man's endured a lot. And for him to, you know, stick to his guns and really hone in on these guys, you know, it's pitching's hard in the world we live in with sports, and it's all about offense. And I mean, football, basketball, baseball, they want home runs, you know, the bats and the balls. And you're talking about exit velos of 110 plus miles an hour coming off a bat. They're going to sail. They're going to go. And in the cooler part of the year, you're going to have more of those carries. So the fact that they haven't given up that many home runs this year, and of course you're striking everybody out, but also that comes with time and film, and when people really start studying, you know, because a lot of this non-conference games, you know, it's not meaningless, but these guys are just trying to get the conference. When really teams start, and they're already doing it, you know, LSU and teams in the SEC are really starting to study your tendencies and stuff. That's when, you know, you're really going to see what kind of pitching staff this is, when the talent you have catches up to the preparation, or if somebody gets in a jam, you know, just the human element of things.
So then when the time comes, and we know, you know, time is inevitable, who do you see replacing Dave Van Horn? Because I know, you know, previously, we'll just say the earlier 2020s, as much as people despise him, you know, Tony Vitello was the rumored to be the next guy to replace Dave Van Horn. I don't think that's as, so much anymore, but would you look at it, Hobbs or Thompson, or do you think it's going to be somebody that's had head coaching experience at this level?
Man, that's tough because, again, not knowing, you know, the coaching carousel like we do in football and basketball. You know, you don't know those up-and-coming coaches like you do in the other sports. It's hard to say, but, I mean, it would be hard, and I would really love to ask Cabo this because, I mean, he would know. I mean, I know he would have an idea of who, but to me it's like Hobbs and what he's done with the pitching, I would keep him there. But again, it's just him and Thompson been around the program for about the same time. Hobbs is in his sixth season, and Thompson's in his seventh. I think honestly, one of them. I don't trust. There's something about Vitello I just don't trust.
No, I agree.
I mean, look, he flash in the pan and all that, but I'm talking about building a program. You know, they kind of took a dip. You know, they're not on that level as – it's almost like an Auburn and Alabama in basketball. You know, you have this where they're good, but they've not established like a solid stay at the top for a long period of time. Now, you know, Alabama and Oates, they've done really good, and, of course, what Bruce Pearl's done at Auburn. But you're handing the keys over to – a 1971 mint condition Ford F-150. You know, that has had a lot of remodels, but you're not just turning over. It's just like with the track program. Look what Harder did, giving it to Johnson. You know, the transition, I think, would have to be somebody that knows the program. Mm-hmm. I just think it would – look what you've built. And when I'm looking at this, I'm looking at Matt Hobbs's bio, and I'm just looking at a view of – Baum Stadium with all the new additions in the buildings from the hog pen looking into, you know, home plate area. It would be hard, and I think I could speak for those diehard fans. It'd be hard to see somebody other than an Arkansas guy, Matt or Nate, take over this program.
No, I agree. I think it's going to be somebody from, you know, the DVH coaching tree, if you will, somebody that's well known to the state of Arkansas. So it's just, you know, that's a conversation that over however much longer we have, it's going to constantly be on the back of a lot of people's minds.
Yeah. And that's something you think of. But then again, it's look like Lance Harder. Yeah. He stepped away from the program, but he still is around. Mm-hmm. He's still helping. I mean, this dude, when we interviewed him the day before the interview, he was driving around one of the vans and just doing odds and ends for the university. Like, he was not a normal, like, sit back at the desk, coach, recruit kind of coach. Like, this guy loves his program. And he's like, just because I'm done coaching, I'm still going to be a big influence. And I could see Dave Van Horn doing that, too. You know, but, yeah, I think he really wants a national championship to really cement – I mean, really, really, really cement his status. I know nobody's ever going to take it away from him, but that would really add that extra layer of cement to his foundation. If he won, I mean, they'd build him a statue.
Oh, yeah.
If they're not already. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve one, but, I mean, it would be in the works. If they won a national championship, they would have that thing by opening day the next year. I mean, that's just how much he's meant to this baseball program.
Yeah, and, you know, it's something that we all want, but, you know, that deep – I mean, that's something that he strives for, that he – you know, him and his players want it more than anything. So, it'll be, you know, this season's going to be still a long ways to go, but there's going to be some good ball in front of us. I know UCA on Tuesday, and then McNeese State coming in for the weekend series. So, you know, getting warmed up before, I think, Ole Miss is the first SEC?
I think so, and then you go to LSU. I think your first one, let me look at this. I'll pull the schedule up real quick, but I think you got Ole Miss, then LSU. No, Missouri.
Missouri.
Yeah, okay. You got Oral Roberts, Missouri, Auburn, and then LSU. So, yeah, you got Ole Miss in April. So, still got a ways to go. But, I mean, it's it plus, you could look at the shock value. Just, I mean, you think about, yes, I know Dave Van Horn. This is his program, and he would hand the keys to whoever he really thought that could take over the program. Could you imagine him just and stepping away and then handing it the keys to somebody else and they bring in a whole new staff? Like, what you're used to for 20 years with Dave Van Horn and then over the last 6-7 years with Nate and Hobbs to just completely – I mean, just think about the fans and you're just coming into – you know, it's like you win a national championship or that, and then you're just, you lose all your program and you're just like, man, this is different.
I think that any smart coach, you know, coming in after him would know to, you know, there's only so much that you really need to tweak, if anything. It's one of those that you're not a bottom feeder. You're not, you know, you haven't plummeted. Of course, I can't tell if you, but just the way things are, you know, you're not at rock bottom. So it's one of those things that there's no need to just completely scrap everything for somebody else.
Well, yeah, and then, of course, the aspect that just win. Keep doing what you're doing, and you don't really have to recruit because you're getting guys to the pros. You keep on. Of course, you know, look, you're dealing with a whole new animal when it comes to college baseball and NIL stuff because those kids depend on that NIL a lot more than the other sports, especially with the scholarships.
But is it 11.7 or 13 now?
11.7, I think.
11.7, that's what I thought. Yeah, so, I mean, that's one thing that I think needs to be looked at is you got sports like baseball and a team like Arkansas that does what they do on 11.7 scholarships. Yeah. And, you know, if you want to, if you have any say in where the NIL money goes, give it to those guys.
Yeah, exactly. And because that's, yeah. I don't see how, and that impresses me more than anything is the fact that you have, because it's a harder grind. Mm-hmm. Unless you're really just keeping up with his stats, you know, where's Kevin Copps? How much money is he making right now? You know, you look at Robert Moore, you look at Isaiah Campbell, you look at all these guys that have just killed it in the college game, and then it's taken them a long time to really get to the show and make it or never really get there. Look at Heston. You know, he finally gets to the show, but it takes a lot of time. And then on top of that, your whole college career, you're either getting a little chump change and you're having to pay for your schooling. I mean, that's huge to be able – for any program to have solid foundation of baseball programs is very impressive because they have so much more hurdles to climb – and now on top of that, you throw in the NIL where, hey, look, don't worry about your school. We got you with this NIL package that pays for your school and money.
Yeah, and that's all we have to look at. Like a lot of these guys that, you know, that get drafted straight out of high school, that, you know, the prospects that Arkansas never actually gets to see because they jump straight to the MLB or the minors, whatever. And it's like the NIL, in a sense, for baseball could keep some of those.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're running off because they're getting 40, 50, 60, or however much they get paid per year to hop up into developmental leagues for the MLB and skip college. And, you know, these guys, if they go through their 3-4 years college and then get drafted, go to their team. Yeah. If they make it at all, you know, it's 6, 7, 8 years for some of these guys before they're actually, and they might be called up for a little bit and then get dropped back. I mean, it's a complete grind, which I know I think Arkansas has the most college players in the MLB at this moment, minus your South American players and whatnot. But, you know, it's one of those things that I just look at the way the NIL, you know, which we don't fully know how it's all spread out, but I think you should look at those programs who are doing things without the financial help of others.
Yeah, and the facilities and, you know, not saying that Arkansas, they have top-notch facilities in the country. I mean, look at what Mississippi State's trying to do. They're trying to compete with Arkansas and their facilities, building a bigger stadium, you know, building the training facilities and stuff. You know, Arkansas is the standard when it comes to facilities and programs. I know they that national championship's holding them back from being the top, the cream of the crop, but they are still like one of the standards when it comes to what you are trying to mold your baseball program around. And I know a lot of it has to do with Dave Van Horn and what they've done over 20 years. But like you said, Tuesday they play UCA Fayetteville at 3 p.m., and then they have a three-game homestand with McNeese State starting on Friday at 3, Saturday at 2 p.m., and Sunday at 1 p.m. All games for the next couple of weeks until the Auburn series, which that Thursday night game you'll be able to watch on the SEC Network. But all games leading up to then will be on the SEC Network Plus streaming. Again, that's the way we're going. I really can't wait for this new streaming app that ESPN and Time Warner, that way you can start streaming all these games on one device. It's going to be pretty amazing for the new wave that everything's going on, how you watch sports. It's all going to be on streaming apps, and the cable TV is going to be obsolete next 5 years.
I'm curious to see what exclusive stuff they'll throw out there. Cause you know, with having the deals, like they're going to throw exclusive games to this, but you know, the NBA is looking at, like we've talked about before, around 2030 when their collective bargaining is up again. I mean, Adam Silver's come out and said that they're looking at the possibility of going strictly streaming, depending on where the media rights go. And that's just what these leagues are having to look at. So,
yeah. And, you know, what will be interesting to me is, in say, March Madness. You know, they've always had those games on True TV and TNT and those, I mean, really oddball channels like True TV, you know, how that will affect things. But, you know, a buddy of mine, Zachary Hall, he's the Storm Chaser guy. I don't know if he's officially teaming up with Garrett Lewis or not, but, you know, he's got something going on. I mean, Garrett Lewis stepped away from 5 News. Now he's doing his own thing. And they're leaning that social media is where that is.
Yeah.
It got me thinking that I made a post about it, and I said, all right, look back in 5 years and see where this started, where you're at, and where, you know, because, again, everybody who has local television and stuff, they're so tired of, you know, their locals being shut off because the corporate media is having disputes so that it's stream. Well, you know what? Now your sports is going to be on one platform. If they start doing weather on one platform, or they start doing these just strictly streaming / social media weather reports, what's the need for it? Yeah. I mean, it's going away.
And I know that there's a lot of distaste for streaming and for this and for that. And I get it. People are stuck in their ways. I totally get it. But, you know, you would not have any more questions on what channel's that game on.
Yep.
I mean, literally, like, just think of, you know, the opening rounds of the NCAA tournament. You're not having to worry about what's on True TV, what's on TBS, what's on TNT, et cetera, et cetera. You just go, boom, there it all is.
It's all about change.
I mean, you know, that's the biggest thing. Weather-wise, just bring me back my, you know, local on the eights with the Kenny G music in the background, and I'll be good to go.
I make fun of my father-in-law. He loves that kind of music. Mm-hmm. We'll be sitting around having a good time, and he'll put that on, and I chime in. The weather tonight in Ozark, you know, it's just, you know, local on the eight. It's just, yeah, that's what you've heard for years. And I think the Weather Channel needs to pay royalties to Kenny G, because, I mean, Kenny G's made them a lot of money.
But yeah, local on the eights and the Kenny G music and Garrett Lewis's sleeve height.
Yes,
are the things
exactly,
that, you know.
Exactly. The sleeves. That's how you knew how bad it was getting or how real it was getting. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some Razorback basketball. Finished the show off with some women's basketball, gymnastics, softball. We'll catch you right after the break.
Attention DIYers and home improvement enthusiasts. Are you searching for the right tools and the supplies to tackle your next project? Look no further than Menards Hardware Store. With locations in Ozark, Alma, and Clarksville, our vast selection of hardware and building materials ensure to have everything you need. Whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or building a new deck, plus our knowledgeable staff is always on hand to offer expert advice and guidance. And with our competitive prices and convenient online ordering, Metters Hardware Store is your one-stop shop for all your DIY needs. Visit us today, and let's build something amazing together. Are you in need of legal representation? Look no further than the law offices of Robertson Beasley, Shipley, and Robinson. As the oldest law firm in the River Valley, we have been serving our clients for over 100 years with locations in Ozark, Fort Smith, and Smith. Our experienced team of attorneys provide expert guidance and advocacy in a wide range of legal areas, including personal injury, family law, criminal defense, and more. Trust in our history and experience to the results you deserve. Contact the law office of Robertson Beasley, Shipley, and Robinson today at 479-782-8813. That's 479-782-8813. Are you looking for a place to grab a cold drink and some delicious food? Look no further than Arkansas Brewing Company. Located at 201 South 1st Street in beautiful downtown Ozark, our establishment offers a wide selection of craft beers and tasty eats. But what sets us apart is our welcoming atmosphere and friendly staff. At Arkansas Brewing Company, you'll always feel like part of the family. So visit Destiny and Christopher Brockett and staff today and see for yourself what makes us the go-to spot for locals and visitors alike. Arkansas Brewing Company, come for the drinks and stay for the friends. Searching for premium brewery products that will take your daily routine to the next level? Look no further than Sterling Soap Company. Our handmade soaps, aftershaves, and balms are made with only the finest ingredients that give you the ultimate grooming experience. With a variety of scents to choose from, there's something for everyone. Plus, our products are crafted in small batches to ensure the highest level of quality. So why wait? Visit www.sterlingsoap.com or visit our retail store at 16 West Walnut Street in Paris, Arkansas. Shop our collection and discover the difference for yourself. Upgrade your grooming routine with Sterling Soap Company.
And want to welcome back to the Hog Talk podcast. During the commercial break, I was watching Cam Little hit a 60-yarder with ease at the combine there in Indianapolis. So I have a feeling he's going to be playing NFL football come Sundays.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was one thing that there wasn't necessarily any doubt in that. And I think now it's just a matter of how high a team's going to go ahead and draft him. Because, you know, You start to see kickers going in higher and higher rounds, it seems like, year by year, especially when there's a kicker, like, with his caliber and his leg that's out there. I mean, I'm kind of thinking maybe he's going to be gone by the fifth round around that point.
Well, whoever gets him, I mean, that, they're going to get a stud because that dude's got killer leg. And
hey, by all means, Baltimore Ravens, y'all draft him to replace Justin Tucker whenever it's his time to go, so we can just go goat for goat.
Seamless transition. There you go.
Exactly.
Well, we were in for a treat yesterday. I think me and you texted beforehand on how this was going to go, and we weren't very confident, of course. When you look at Kentucky, you know, I think this was their seventh game scoring over 100 points. Mm-hmm. And you're just at Rupp Arena, a team that wasn't going to show any mercy on you at all. They want to blow you out by 40. And the style of play that Arkansas was playing, even in this loss, I mean, yes, they blew a lead. They had, 7-point lead or nine-point lead with 7 minutes left. You know, but it's the way they played. They weren't taking dumb shots. Now, I will say that they're passing – couple of just errant passings down the stretch that were out, you know, it's really where they were really having to stretch to catch it, you know, a lot of those things. But when you're playing a team like Kentucky, who, again, can go on an 8-0 run, like Arkansas had an 8-0 run midway through the second half, and, you know, we're leading at 86-77 with 8:42 left in the game. And then Kentucky just goes on a run. Now, and I'm not saying this is why they lost the game, but, you know, you get these refs that just anticipate fouls. And I think they play into it. And I've seen it happen at Arkansas. I've seen it happen in all these arenas. You know, Kentucky goes on a 4-0 run, and then they get a barely touch foul and one. Now you're at a 6-7. Now you're a 3-point, 2-point deficit. You know, there was a lot of anticipating fouls that they called both ways. Like the one, I believe it was Battle, who was pivoting or doing, and the guy didn't even touch him. And they called a foul on Shepherd, I believe was his name. You know, I think that's a lot that had to do, because that just takes the momentum away from the game. And then when you look at it, a team that don't need any help in Kentucky, what you're looking at a 9-point lead, now you're at a 9-point loss. An 18-point swing is what you are looking at. And, yeah, Kentucky come out and balled, but the refs had a little bit to do with it too.
Yeah, the extreme of the fouls were pretty crazy because, I mean, you went from some no calls that were just borderline muggings on both sides to, you know, calling things that didn't happen, it was just all over the place. You know, the four technical fouls by Arkansas, I think Kentucky had two, is what it is at this point. I wasn't shocked by it. Quite frankly, I didn't disagree with what Coach Musselman was doing when he got his. I know a lot of people have been hard on him this season, but I mean, that was not one that it was just like, oh, Mus, you've got to shut it. I mean, that was one that was, he had every right to be out there hollering and screaming.
I mean, he fell completely down. I mean, he fell all the way down, and it was a walk, clearly. I mean, there was no – it wasn't like a 50-50 deal. That was complete garbage. And yes, again, you're talking about the swing of things. Now, guess what? You're ahead in the game, you get a tee, and then they hit two free throws. And you allow another thing, people to gain momentum. And this is another human element that a lot of people don't realize is, I can't remember his name, the big kid, his name at Kentucky, the big 7-footer, his last name. It's slipping my mind.
Is it the foreign one?
Yes. Or? Yeah. Well, the other one was having a better game overall. They just couldn't stop him. But it was the foreign guy. He was kind of cold all throughout the game. And then all of a sudden, after all this stuff happens, he gets hot. You allow people to gain that confidence and that momentum. And he was on fire at the end of the game, especially at the free throw line.
And I know in the game, you know, it was like, I think at this point, Arkansas was up like 84-79 or something like that. And there's still, you know, 8-9 minutes left in the game. And I'm like, we're going to hit triple digits on both sides. I mean, it was just crazy to see. And, you know, that was one of those things that I said it when Arkansas got down 10, 11 points or whatever it was. I was like, oh, game's done. Yeah. And I had some backlash from some comments out there on social media. And the point of my comment was just, we have not come back from a double digit deficit all season and won. And it, you know, it's one of those things that I said, I own that I said it, and I'll eat the crow if we were to win. I'm not sitting here saying that, like, I wanted Arkansas to lose. I'm just talking about what's happened this season. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they got to that point in the final, I think, 4-ish minutes, and I text you when we were texting, and I said, you know, this is either the point that when Arkansas's down, they start to come back, or this is the part where they crumble when they have a lead. And, I mean, they, you know, they did, they put up a fight till, you know, mostly the end. And that was something that I was happy to see. But at the same time, I just still have, you know, ill will towards this season.
Yeah, and they just, their shots weren't falling at the end. I don't know if it was because they were just gassed. I mean, look, but you wouldn't listen. When you go 21-for-21 in the second half in free throws, that, I mean, that's impressive. You know, you're 27-for-28 for the game. I mean, and Kentucky was 34-42. So you think about when we talk about this ref thing, this ref situation, 42-28, 70 free throws were shot in the game. You know, that's a lot of daggum free throws. And also, on top of that, a road game, and you had four technical fouls to only lose by 9. I know a lot of people don't like the moral victory thing, and but that's impressive that you didn't get run out of the gym. You know, because they have some ballers on their team, Reeves and Wagner, which old heads like me, I don't know if you remember his dad, DeJuan Wagner, out of Memphis. Oh, yeah. I mean, that dude was cold. And there was another guy. Memphis had some very, very, very underrated ballers back in the late 90s, early 2000s that could put up 80 points easy.
Oh, it's crazy to see now all the, you know, former NBA guys that their sons are coming up in college. And I'm even seeing them down, you know, in high school. Because I follow, I mean, being here at Northside and as decent as Northside, like I follow high school, especially around Arkansas quite a bit. But, you know, seeing out there like Carlos Boozer's twins are like one of them's number one, one of them's number five recruit in the country. I mean, heck, Rajon Rondo's son's only in like fourth grade and he's already on the radar for a lot of these guys. But just, you know, you start seeing the guys that LeBron played against in his first year where now 20 years later, LeBron's playing against those kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just crazy to see.
And even LeBron's son, you know, I mean, by the time he retires, both of his boys will be in the league, you know, and it's just, you just look at, like, when we talked open of the show on a somber note, you know, with getting old, I mean, that's the thing when you see like, oh my gosh, I remember his dad played. I remember his dad in high school. You know, my freshman year at Connor State, we had a guy from Memphis, Sean Davis, and I mean, DeJuan Wagner was the guy out of Memphis. And there was another one. I just seen a story on him. I can't remember his name, but he broke DeJuan Wagner's record the same year or the year after, I believe. He scored like 80-something in the game. But it's just, there was a lot of, I mean, Oklahoma had some ballers back in the day, too, and they still do. But Oklahoma's them.
Girl, like my time frame, which, you know, I'm a little bit behind you, but every time I see, you know, watching an Arkansas game and I see Ronnie Brewer, and, you know, I was a sophomore when he was a senior, but like seeing that and then seeing where we are now, you don't think of it, but then when you sit there and think back, you're just like, dang, that was a long time ago. Because, you know, we're talking his that 2002, or I think his senior year was 2003. Yeah. And so, you know, that's one of those things that it's just like, oh, man.
Well, and just even players like Bobby Portis, you know, they were drafted in 2015. Okay, so a guy like Bobby Portis has almost been out of Arkansas for 10 years. I mean, that's when you really layer it. It's like an onion. You really layer it, and you look at, okay, Bobby Portis and Daniel Gafford, and that, I mean, that's 10 years ago. Then you're looking at Ronnie Brewer Jr. in that 20, 30 year, you know, it's just, it is crazy to see, you know, all the talent we've had and all the talent that have seen. And it makes me wish that social media was prevalent back then because of all the guys that could have made it big and got some kind of notoriety. I mean, you had like thing, you know, message boards and, you know, just, you were emailing clips and VHS tapes for people to watch. You know, if they could have had social media, I mean, it would have been insane for what some of these kids could have done.
Yeah, and it was cool to see, like, when we posted the video, it was a few weeks back, but it was Patrick Beverly getting in Nick Smith Jr.'s head, but it was your oldest Razorback in the league versus your youngest Razorback in the league. And it was just cool to see. I mean, you know, say what you want to say about the guys, whatever, but I'm a fan of both of them. And it was just, it was, you know, and there was a lot of people out there that was like, oh, I don't like seeing the, somebody said hog on hog crime. And I'm just like, you know, you get to a point, like, it's just respect to the game and just watch it for what it is and take that out. Like, you have two guys that are battling and it's fun to see.
And you know, Nick Smith Jr. didn't back down.
No, he didn't.
You know, so, I mean, that's the thing. You know, they want to see, can these guys make it? Because you never know. This guy might be on my team next year. This guy at trade deadline, what happens if we're trying to build a franchise and Patrick Beverly's like, and this dude's smart. Like, this dude is, there's a lot of people who underestimate him when it comes to his mindset and what type of really player he is.
If anybody watches or likes podcasts, go listen to the Pat Bev podcast.
Yeah.
Just to get an insight to him, because there's a lot more to this guy than what they see on a court and why he does the things that he does and all that.
I can't remember who he was getting into it with. And the person just didn't realize how he was looked upon, his peers and the coaches. And Man, I want to say it was All the Smoke. You're talking about podcasts. I love watching that one. And
there was one that it was with Gilbert Arenas.
Yeah.
And some of the guys. And they were, so one of them was kind of, dogging Pat Bev. And
it was Rashad McCants, and I can't stand him. Yeah.
Yes. Because then he, when Pat Bev came on, he just kind of called out for, called up, things that him and Rashad McCants, trying out with the Lakers.
Yep. That's
and
exactly.
practicing and this and that. And it's just kind of like, he's mad because this is what I did to him at practice.
Well,
like, and he didn't show up the next day.
He didn't. He walked out. He walked out, I believe, mid-workout or something. But, that's the – and what we talk about with streaming and social media, and that's the bad side of social media, because everybody gets to have an opinion whether they should or shouldn't. And you look at all the greats. I mean, this is where we're going. Look at Clay Travis. Look at, oh my goodness, Will Cain. You've got these guys that just spew hot takes, whether that's what they think or not, because they know it's going to get views and clicks. And we're seeing it now on social media with local. I don't care what we're talking about. Let's just write an article to get clicks. There's hardly any journalism anymore when it comes to a lot of the social media. And it really pisses those off who really take the time to write the articles, get the, when you're taking somebody else's article or somebody else's tweet and you're making a story off of somebody else's content, that's not journalism. But that's where we're at. So you look at Rashad McCants and people like that are just spewing whatever. And, I get, in me, someone who has followed women's basketball for 30 years, I get blasted for my take on this whole Caitlin Clark deal, because I don't think she's the greatest women's basketball player to ever play. I think she's great, and I think a lot of it, and you can attest to this, just because you don't think somebody's the greatest, you think they're trash. That is the thing that really upsets me when it comes to like debating. Like, I don't think LeBron's the best, and I don't think Caitlin Clark's the best, but I don't think they're terrible. I just don't think they're the greatest.
Well, that's like last night on my personal Facebook page. I posted a graphic of LeBron hitting 40,000 points, and my caption just read, "I have my GOAT, you have your GOAT," but that doesn't change the fact that LeBron has scored 40,000 points in the league. And that's something that I look back and, I was born in 87. So then growing up in obviously growing up with Jordan and the Bulls, and then going into the 2000s, Kobe into LeBron and all this. And, back then I couldn't stand to watch Kobe Bryant, the Lakers. It was one of those things. I loved Shaq, but I couldn't stand watching Kobe. And it took, and this was, before his death, it took him retiring and seeing what he did as a father for women's basketball. Even when he got into his directing and whatnot, what he won an Emmy Award for his whatever animated thing that he created, or documentary that he did. But it took, that for me to look back and be like, man, I was hating on him for nothing.
Yeah.
I was hating on him because I'm a Phoenix Suns fan and they were getting destroyed by the Lakers every year. So, but it's just, now you're at a point, it's just respect. You don't have to like them, but respect it.
You can respect that they're great, but there's just a lot of people who, it's one of the, if not the biggest debate in sports, who's your GOAT, and that's fine. And the people who say he's their GOAT, that's fine. But to sit there, the way I see it, if you have to discredit somebody else's accolades to make your case for being the GOAT, then you're not the GOAT. You can't sit there and you're taking away from somebody else or making excuses for what player A's done to elevate your game. That automatically disqualifies you from even being above that person, and I'm not saying he's not in the conversation.
Yeah.
You can't put him above
completely different eras too, that it's like, and I think Jordan years ago said it best when it was talking about him being the greatest ever or being the GOAT. And he was, he just kind of went down the list like, well, I didn't get to play against this person. I didn't get to play against that person. that was their error. This was my error. That's their, I mean, so he was just kind of breaking it down to like, don't base, I mean, if you want to call me the GOAT, great, I'm not going to. And, you know, I've even seen with this Caitlin Clark stuff, you know, you have the people posting like, oh, well, Pistol Pete didn't have the 3-point line. He had this, didn't have this, didn't. I get that. The game's evolved. The game's changed. But, you know, it's one of those things that you're sitting here trying to find reasons to take away what she's done.
Yeah.
I mean, just accept it and move on, you know.
And I guess I've done that well as well when it comes to putting her as the best. Because, I mean, of course, yes, I'm a biased UConn women's basketball fan. But when you look at Breanna Stewart and somebody who's never lost a national championship, much less somebody who's never even been to, you know, got one,
mm-hmm.
It's hard to put that. And I understand, well, she's took an Iowa. Well, I mean, yeah, but they let her shoot 30 times a game, 20 times a game. You know, that's what the last year when they were playing South Carolina, I mean, that, or not what South Carolina, it was LSU. The coach pretty much said, I'm just giving her the ball and letting her do You know, I the own thoughts about it. But it's just, you can't, in the world we're in, you especially when everybody's on this side of Caitlin or on this side of LeBron, you've got people that, look at the Jordan thing. You've got guys that were sold on Jordan. Jordan's the GOAT, but then they get pressured into saying LeBron's the best because it's the hot take. It's the hot thing, mm-hmm. you know, and they're taken away from their true self. Look at Scottie Pippen. You know, he's salty because of the big, you know, the Last Dance, and he was like, I will never say LeBron's the best. And now, guess all this stuff that happens personal, now he switches. You know, there's nothing that's happened in the career that's made him be better than Jordan. It's just people's opinions change because they are either salty or they just want to be with what everybody else is doing.
Well, coming back, I guess not full circle, but kind of like what you're bringing up with the media and putting out an article or a tweet or a headline just for the, you know, the clickbait, the conversation, the interactions. It's what a lot of these athletes and other bigger media members are doing mm-hmm. is what am I going to do to make sure that I'm in the news right now, that I'm going to be talked about for these 5 minutes.
Yeah. So. It is what it is. I know we went on a little tangent there about, you know, other topics and stuff, but you know, you look at the rest of the basketball season, you got two games left. You play LSU at Bud Walton Arena on Wednesday, and then you go to Tuscaloosa to play Alabama. Tough way to finish your season, especially, you know, when you're sitting at 14-15 on the year.
At least we know that Alabama's event staff and security will be prepared for storming.
Boy, that was awesome, wasn't it? I mean
–
We're talking about a guy who was strolling on the court. So what are we going to do to fix that? When the horn sounds, we're going to throw seven people out there with a rope that's going to end up clotheslining somebody, lawsuit written all over it. What could possibly mm-hmm. go wrong with that?
You know, elbows off the top rope coming in hot.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But we'll wrap up the show. Arkansas softball had a decent weekend. Believe they lost one to South Dakota State, mm-hmm. and then turn around and come back and beat Southeastern Missouri 6-5 to wrap up the classic, the Invitational this weekend. And Arkansas gymnastics won over Missouri 197-65. To 197-525 to win that one mm-hmm. on the road. What a year this gymnastics team has had. I mean, you want to talk about one of the – if you would say comeback programs of the year, I would give it mm-hmm. to the gymnastics team for what they've been able to do this year and the upsets and their performances. You know, because, of course, when you got the softball program at the top, and we knew, like with the softball team, that the pitching was their question, and they got their ace in Robin Heron, but you got to get the other ones to, because, look, if your bats go cold, you see what happens. And South Dakota State's not a slouch. They got mm-hmm. a couple of girls from Arkansas on that squad because, if I'm not mistaken, the head coach at South Dakota State used to be at Arkansas Tech. So Arkansas ties to that school, and look, there's a lot of talent. We've seen what UCA did Arkansas twice last year. You know, that's what makes that OU 71 game win streak so impressive, because you've got all these teams coming in that can beat you. You battled with Southeastern Missouri State. Louisiana beat OU today to end it. South Dakota State beat Arkansas, and then again, Arkansas had to come back to beat Southeastern Missouri today. It's just, you got to bring your – and I believe after the games, Coach Stifel was talking about that. You have to bring your A game when you're at this part of your program, this height of your program, because everybody's going to beat you. And we seen that last year, mm-hmm. You know, and we talked about it when we were talking about the preseason expectations for Arkansas. You know, look, the honeymoon period is over when it comes to – oh, you're doing all these cool things. Like, you're expected to do good things now, you know. Yes, it's nice when you reach new heights and stuff, and, of course, if they get to Oklahoma City, but you're at the point now to where you're breaking attendance records still, and you've got to perform. So, but, I mean, again, also, you play, what, three, let's see, two games on Friday and two games on Saturday. You're bound to drop one of them. And that's
those just double headers, man. Yeah. Every week.
That's the way they do it. And sometimes you're throwing the same pitcher out there. So, up net for the Razorback softball team, they got the Razorback Rumble with Nebraska, South Alabama, St. Francis, and Northern Iowa that starts on Thursday and runs to Monday. We're talking about, you know, your games. They play six games from Thursday to Sunday. So, you play one Thursday, two Friday, two Saturday, and one Sunday. Between now and this will be the last time, the last stretch at home for Arkansas before they start SEC play at Auburn, and then they welcome Mississippi State back to Bogle Park on March 22nd. And I want to go back to the gymnastics team just for a second, where they have two more meets left, I believe. Let me pull the schedule up real quick. Two meets left. They beat Missouri, and then they have OU at Bud Walton Arena and Nebraska at Bud Walton Arena. So two more meets, two more chances. And, again, what we were talking about kind of off-air on what these programs are doing, you get to finish your season at Bud Walton Arena because you're selling out Barnhill. Like, you're at the point where you're – almost too big for Barnhill mm-hmm. Arena.
Sooner or later, I think that's what it's going to be permanently.
Yeah, and that all, of course, you know, with the renovations and stuff, I mean, I know that's going to be a lot of it. Undefeated at home, so they're going to be tested the next 2 weeks with because they played OU earlier in the Metroplex Challenge and lost by a good margin. So hopefully playing in Bud Walton Arena, they've done it before. That's another good thing about this program is they've upset some top-notch programs. So that will wrap it up for them. I think that's it for all the non-Big Three sports that we talk about. Again, Adam, you got anything else before we wrap it up?
No. Well, I think it's been a lot covered today.
Yeah, a lot. And, again, when we get into March Madness, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, Bracket busters.
I think that's going to be a crazy thing. Like, look, Arkansas, you know, Arkansas fans, how are you going to watch March Madness that your team's not in it? You know, that's a thing that – how are you going to look at it differently? You know, this could be first time in a minute since Arkansas has not made the NCAA tournament, you know. Mm-hmm. So, be a different outlook. And then you got the women's side. They're more than likely going to be NIT bound, dropping their final regular season game against Ole Miss. Another disappointing season for the Razorback women's basketball team, where they're the 10 seed this year in the SEC women's tournament. And they play Auburn on Wednesday. And then the winner of that gets LSU. So that tells you all you need to know about that next week. So, but that will do it for this episode of the Hog Talk Podcast, brought to you by Sterling Stope Studios and Bet Online, part of Believe. And soon to be, when all this ramps up, the Autograph Network. I can't wait for all that stuff to come up with the app. Again, I believe our promo code's at the bottom. Is it, you still got it scrolling to the bottom or no?
No, that's fine. Changed it.
We'll change it and get that posted up for you. So, hey, look, there's going to be a lot of good content. Josh Teeter, Pinto, starting a new Twitter space as part of the Autograph deal, Best of Arkansas Sports. A lot of other content can be seen on Autograph app. If you have not downloaded it yet, download it today and use the promo code THEHOGTALK, which gets you connected to all things Arkansas sports on one app. It's amazing what and the coolest thing I like about it is as soon as we're done wrapping up with the show, it's automatically on the app. So if you missed this episode or got in late, as soon as we're done here, download the app and catch us as soon as we are done recording. All right, well, that will do it. We'll catch you on the next stream. Hopefully we're going to try to come to you midweek depending on how everything goes, but again, we try to do 2 a week, especially with all the sports coming up, but sometimes life gets in the way of those extra episodes. But that will do it for this episode. We'll catch you later.